Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome back to episode 2. I am Katie Walker and I talk all things neurospicy. I am a SEND advocate and today's topic is going to be too little, too late. We are going to talk the very controversial topic of EBSA, emotional-based school avoidance. Now, this is something I feel really passionate about because it's something I suffered with my daughter. She's now old enough to be able to be open with me, to talk to me about exactly what was going on, exactly how she felt. And so I am using her guidance really to share with you, because so much of it was things that back then I completely overlooked and I still believe are being overlooked today. So let me share with you. Let's have a little look at why children suffer with emotional-based school avoidance in the first place, or why they can suffer with it. Now, my child has autism and ADHD combined, and she was suffering with EBSA, and it went on for a good 2 years, to be honest. Now, the reasons that she was suffering with EBSA were reasons that I had no idea about at the time. I just did not understand, and I don't feel like she really understood either at that time, in that moment, because anxiety was just so high. So let's have a look at the three things that have come from all of my learning on this topic. First of all, environment. So let's have a little look at the school environment. Now, for children that have ADHD, autism, PDA, anxiety, or a combination of the above, this can be really tricky just on its own to try and get their head around. My youngest, age 7, is in a class of 32. They are all sat at tables all day and there's no carpet time, there's no space for kind of sitting on the floor like there would have been in infant school. And so they're sitting on a chair at a table for very long periods of time, and some children find this incredibly difficult to do. It is completely overlooked. It's certainly not easy. With 31 other children in the class, that's a very unpredictable environment. Now, children with autism and ADHD tend to be the most unpredictable people out there, but also they like to have predictable surroundings. Now, in a class of that size, that doesn't sound very predictable to me. The noise level would be much higher, obviously, with that amount of children. The demands of the day will be really tricky for a child that suffers with PDA within a school environment. There is a lot of demands from the beginning to the end of the day that aren't necessarily on their own terms. Of course, we have the lunch hall, which is always quite boisterous and noisy, but it comes with all of the foods and all of those different smells, which, of course, if your child suffers with sensory processing disorder like mine, that can really play havoc with their internal systems and make things much harder for them. Then obviously you have the social environment out on the playground or at playtime. Now, some children that suffer with autism or ADHD or PDA find socialising really tricky to get the head around. And there's very little guidance for these children within mainstream education as to kind of how to go about that, really. So they can feel that they're not getting it right quite a lot of the time, and with little guidance to put them on the right track. Now, in secondary school, this layers up a little bit further because the environment is somewhat even more tricky, because each class has a different teacher. And of course, with each different teacher comes a different tone of voice, different facial expressions, different expectations, different teaching methods, different behavioural patterns. And as we know, children with autism and ADHD and PDA are very good at picking up on behavioral patterns and really reading or even feeling energy off another person. Now, if that staff member changes every hour, that could be very difficult for a child to get their head around. Now, in these classes that change every hour, there is different children, which again is a different noise level and different unpredictable class from the last unpredictable class and very large class sizes. So at senior school level, it becomes that little bit more tricky to get your head around, which is why emotional-based school avoidance is mostly at senior school age, the percentage is much higher for children of that age to suffer with this. So we've done a little bit about the environment. Let's just have a look at the masking. So children with autism, ADHD, or of course PDA can suffer with masking. And this is really difficult because the child can mask for very long periods of time, in fact, throughout the whole school day, but they can feel as if nobody understands them and they can lose trust in the staff around them for making the right decisions on their behalf. We quite often hear from staff in schools that, oh, the child is fine. The child is fine. They're fine here. And actually, the child is not fine on the inside. So, even though the child might be working through requests from the teaching staff, they can be really struggling internally, which is what masking is all about. And they lose trust on the staff understanding those difficulties that they face. And there not being the time to talk that through with anybody or the trust to talk that through with anybody. When this happens, staff can no longer help because the child won't reach out to the member of staff and emotional-based school avoidance occurs. Just the same as when the environment is the way that it is, emotional-based school avoidance can occur. Put the two together, and of course, emotional-based school avoidance can occur. Now, the third layer of this is autism burnout. So, if your child is diagnosed or if you've spoken to CAMHS, autism burnout is an actual thing. It really is a thing. It's not in parents' minds, it does exist. And this is when the child has been masking for too long and just cannot do it any longer. Perhaps they are feeling overwhelmed with the sensory demands. Perhaps they are feeling overwhelmed with the academic schooling demands. Perhaps they are feeling overwhelmed socially. Perhaps they are just overwhelmed from the sheer amount of masking and therefore internal struggling that's going on. And then what happens is they don't want to play ball no more. They absolutely refuse. Absolutely not, they're done. And when this happens, of course, emotional-based school avoidance occurs. Now, in a lot of children that have autism, ADHD, or PDA, all three of these are really key and they can all interlink together. So we're looking at a real struggle. We're looking at a very complicated mixture of things going on that isn't necessarily easy to change. So these aspects cannot be fixed within an 8-week intervention, as the emotional-based school avoidance parent pack would perhaps imply. I think the emotional-based school avoidance pack that comes home to parents can almost belittle the struggle and the real problems that are going on because they imply that perhaps the problem is a friendship issue, or perhaps an issue that can be fixed really easily, like too much homework in your science class. And if the pack is implying this, then of course it makes sense that this emotional-based school avoidance parent pack will imply that, hey, we can fix this, we can have a meeting about this, and within 8 weeks of an intervention, your child will be back in school into mainstream education full time. But the reality is very different. If a child is or has been experiencing any of those things I've spoken about, from autism burnout, having issues with the environment or masking, and they've been out of mainstream education for some time, it can take up to 18 months to reintegrate properly back into mainstream school. Now, we cannot push children at a rate faster than they can go at. because it will have very, very hindering outcomes. It can make EPSA worse if we push them too hard or too fast to go back into school. Of course, it's no fault of our own, because for some children it works, but sometimes if parents are encouraging to go back into school quite heavy-handedly because the school are saying, we need them in school, it's parental responsibility to be in school, and this is what we need you to do. I certainly had it with my own daughter. They would say things like, bring her in her pajamas, or just bring her in the car and we'll have a member of staff meet you in the car park, or just bring her in kicking and screaming and we'll take it from there. And as a parent, it felt wrong to be doing those things. However, I felt like I had to be doing those things because the professionals were telling me to, and surely they would know best. But actually, all that was doing was making my daughter lose trust in me as the parent, that her feelings were not validated, and that I certainly didn't understand her needs. And she'd certainly lost her trust that as her parent, I knew best. So, in fact, we were as a team between me and the school with that approach, pushing her further and further away and making EBSA, emotional-based school avoidance, even worse. Now, due to the lack of funding and resources, if your child is home from school, it's likely that the attendance officer or the homeschool link worker or equivalent or whatever your school will have will visit the home. This can, of course, cause further stress on a child for varying reasons. We're going to unpick this slightly. We're going to unpick how the EBSA pack works, what the schools are doing about it, and how actually this is hindering rather than helping. So, if you were to have a member of staff come to the house, and I know for a lot of you that's on a weekly basis, sometimes 2 weekly basis, you will likely be preparing your child for someone visiting the home from school via lots of reminders. Now, the minute you mention a member of staff coming to the home, their anxiety is going to go up through the roof. So you're likely going to have your hands full right up until that staff member leaves. Now, also, you're probably going to have to use a lot of encouragement that the staff member visiting the home is quite nice. So in my cases, when staff members were coming, my daughter absolutely did not want them at home. But what I was doing was saying things like, oh, do you remember that's the staff member that you really liked back in year six? And that was a staff member that helped you that time at playtime. And so as a parent, you're really advocating this member of staff and kind of saying, you know, like, this is going to be okay. This is going to be fine. I'm going to be here. This member of staff, we know her. We think she's quite nice. Now, you may even have to do some sort of social story. However, and this is where it gets tricky, all too commonly, at the very last minute, I hear this all the time via my TikTok page. The staff changes or appointments cancel. And yet, this in turn fuels more anxiety in the child. The child was already highly anxious from EBSA, then highly anxious because there was a member of staff coming to the home, and then the parents have had to kind of diffuse, and then really anxious because everything's all changing. Either the appointment's been cancelled or the staff has changed. So, why? That's a good question. Why? Why does this create even more anxiety? I will hear you say. Let's have a think about that. First of all, change of expectations. The change of expectations from the child to see somebody from school has gone. The change that all that mum said and that I trusted has either gone or changed, and a change in the demand. Now, we have to remember when working with children with autism or ADHD or PDA that every single staff member comes with their own and different tones of voice, different body language, different smells. Yep, I said it. I have a child with sensory processing disorder, and I can assure you every human comes with a different smell, different ways of teaching, different expectations. Some are stricter than others, some are liked more than others. Different behavior patterns, all of which for a child with autism, ADHD, or PDA, they'll be very sensitive to and they're going to pick up on. And it can take a child a very long time to get their head around a change of staff. So If you're getting an email 45 minutes before this staff member is supposed to be visiting the home, and you've put in all of this prep work with your child, and then it changes, you can only imagine what the child is going through. This isn't going to work. This level of intervention does not work, and it is creating further emotional-based school avoidance. It's creating further distrust in the service. And once the child loses trust in the service, it is very, very difficult to get back. I remember the day that my daughter said to me, she was 12, that people don't really care, do they? And it really hit me hard because I didn't want her to see the world like that. I wanted her to see that people do care. And she just said, people don't really care. And I just thought, this is so hard to hear. But she was fed up with people coming round and pretending to be her friend and pretending to get to know her. And then the staff member changed, or they just didn't turn up, or the expectation changed. And it was a case of, well, she's had four sessions, so now she just has to come into school. It was a really unkind process to put her through, particularly as she has neurospicy needs. And in fact, that expectation on her was huge, that it had a huge detrimental effect on her mental health. It made it much worse. Now, if you add in the concern, I went off on a bit of a tangent there. Let's go back. If you add in the concern of school and home mixing, which is school coming to the home for these meetings. By the way, my daughter liked to keep school and home very separate. Homework could never be done at home because home was for home and school was for school. And I wonder if your child is the same. So that concern of school and home mixing and a member of staff coming to the home was a very, very big deal. And then add in the fear of being kind of forced, possibly being forced back into school by whoever may attend the home. And you have the perfect recipe for a school attendance disaster. Yet for some reason, we're still handing out the EBSA parent book, parent handbook, and we're still working with this method. The approach of getting back to school via an emotional-based school avoidance intervention is no longer successful. It's becoming too little, too late, literally. The problem with EBSA is that it's looked at incorrectly. It is reactive to the decline in school attendance and not proactive in understanding needs such as sensory processing disorder, pathological demand avoidance, autism, and ADHD. It implies that through an absent parent pack, that perhaps there's a logical problem to solve, such as a friendship issue or too much homework being issued in science, rather than understanding the real versions of why EBSA happens to mainly neurospicy children. Of course, the real reasons are harder to fix, aren't they? In fact, in classes of 32 with no funding and no resources, it may never be resolved, at least not easily. But to ignore it feels somewhat worse. To not validate it and to not understand it and to not even have discussions about it feels worse to the child and to the parent. Now, what then another layer makes that worse is then the parental stigma that's put on us for that. It's parental responsibility to bring your child to school. You will end up in court conversations. We've all had them. And it's that bit that I then think we are ignoring the issue. We are completely pushing it under the rug. This is why school attendance, in my opinion, is at an all-time low. And this is why homeschooling families are in sky-high proportions. So it's all doom and gloom. Can we fix it? I think we can. I think we can fix it. I think my daughter would have been able to go back into mainstream school full time if she'd been given half the chance, validation, and understanding that she needed. I believe for some children, they can reintegrate back into mainstream, but over a long period of time, perhaps up to 18 months, and for some, definitely not at 8 weeks. I think it would require validation and understanding of some of the issues that I've discussed. It would require no parental stigma, but teamwork between home and school. All too often, relationships are wrecked when attendance is at a low rate or a low percentage. This isn't helpful to school attendance or the child. It would require a slow integration at the child's pace, perhaps initially only working with a key worker or a small group of children. This slow integration may only involve non-academic classes such as drama or art while the child builds in confidence. If I may push my luck, our weekly forest school is an excellent way to work on issues of self with a child, exploring who am I underneath this mask, having the freedom and space to try and make mistakes. A key worker would be necessary to build a relationship with, to speak to whenever ever possible, with regular emotional check-ins throughout the day. It's key and really important that this member of staff is there to guide, support, and listen, but not to discipline. That needs to be a different member of staff. The child needs to build trust. Trust that it's okay to get it wrong and not be in trouble. A card to show to leave the class at any time to a safe designated area, such as the library or a quiet room, will mean a child does not feel trapped at any time. This can lower levels of anxiety massively. For these children with autism, ADHD, PDA, anxiety, and EBSA, need to feel as if it's a shared and trusted learning journey between staff and pupil, where their voice is heard and their opinion matters. When this happens, children's anxiety will lower and they will feel safe to explore further learning and increase their capacity to learning. They'll take more on out of choice. You can't learn if you're anxious. You can't learn if you are concerned for your environment. You can't learn if you are struggling on the inside and masking on the outside. You can't learn if you're in autism burnout. Until then, until these issues can maybe be resolved and maybe interventions put in place to help with emotional-based school avoidance, it can just feel too little, too late. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast and I hope you remain kind to yourself today. Please do remember, I am here to help and support in any way I can. My website, www.sendparentingbalance.com, will show you in all the ways that I can help. Don't forget, you can find me on TikTok. I am Katie Walker. And of course, listen out for my other podcasts. I'll see you soon.